services. Well, by the way, I'm talking about humor. Get ready with that YouTube thing up there. I'll let you know when I need it. But I like the fact we all gather together here. And we are joyful because we're in His presence. And I want to begin the week of Thanksgiving with saying, Father, we appreciate the fact, we are so grateful, we are so thankful that this morning, while we gather together in Jesus' name, Your Spirit is right here, and Jesus is where two or three are gathered together, and we all can sense His presence. Now, it's not all about emotion, and it's not all about our sixth sense of sensing, but I'm telling you this. We know that we know that we know that His presence is here, because as we reach out to Him, He reaches right back to us, and He brings an evidence of His existence in the middle of our life. He interrupts our linear existence, brings something as a whirlwind into our lives. And all of a sudden, just because we lifted our voice to Him, His supernatural presence touches the thing that needs to be changed. And for that, I'm thankful, and I give Him thanks. And that Jesus that interrupts your daily existence through His supernatural touch is right here this morning. And if you don't know Him yet, if you haven't begun to walk with Him in this manner, today is the day where you can truly taste and see that He is good. And with your senses, you can touch Him. He will touch you right back. Those people that were crowding around Jesus while He was walking in physical flesh, while He was walking the streets of Nazareth and Jerusalem and all the streets of Galilee and basically Judea, you know, the whole land. As He was walking, tons of them were crowding around Him, but some went with the desire to touch Him. And as they did, even touching His garment brought an interruption in their lives that changed their existence forever. This morning is one of those opportune times where you can stay within a crowd that you presume is here to interact with Jesus, but few really are very serious about this interaction and have come this morning to touch His garment and be changed. This Jesus that has the supernatural ability to touch your life and you will never be the same is here this morning, already speaking to you, already changing you, touching where He needs to really transform your life. So at the end, we're going to be more like Him, so we can put the Father on display, so we can engage those that don't know Him yet, that have not touched His garment yet, to come to know Him. We're in a series of discipleship messages. And I began last time with showing you how not to walk in His footsteps, how not to engage those that know Him yet. Today I'm going to bring one of those snippets to tell us how to engage those around you that haven't touched His garment yet, that don't know Him yet. We'll be right back.
word.
What do you want?
Mrs. Edwards, I know I ask you this like every week, but would you like to ride to church with me? Oh, come on, Mrs. Edwards, you like my church. We have some hot music. It may not be what you're bumping at all, but it's hot. We get down. What do you say, Mrs. Edwards?
I suppose.
I've heard it said that 80% of first-time church visitors come because someone personally invited them. All people need to feel loved and wanted, and for some people, it just takes having someone offer to give them a ride to church. We have something great going on at this church. People's lives are being transformed by God's love. Your homework this week is to find at least one person who could use a little more of that love and invite them to come with you next week. Trust me, it's worth the extra effort.
Mrs. Edwards, you want to listen to some music on the way? Go ahead, your choice. Okay, here we are.
I will continue to challenge you with this message. Find this week one person that can use a little bit more of this kind of love. So we started talking about in his footsteps. We did part one. We talked about Jesus Christ and his uneven exchange with the world. Those of you that missed this one last Sunday, it's online. You can go listen to it. You can watch it, listen. However you want to catch up with that, but I'm just, for the sake of all of us being on the same page, I'm going to read real quickly through the main points of last time's sermon. It was on the uneven exchange that Jesus did with the world, and we talked about he exchanged uncreated nature for created body, unrestricted existence for time and space dimension. By the way, we really unpacked all of that. It's worth going and listening to it. Uncorrupted heaven for sin-infested earth, unimaginable splendor for Nazareth's obscure roads, unceasing angelic adoration for ridicule and unbelief. So we really have no problem understanding that Jesus unevenly exchanged with the world and gave up certain things. I thought it would be a good exercise if we go in the reverse and see what we have exchanged with Jesus. So in order for us to be able to walk in his footsteps, it might be a good idea to where we adopt the nature of exchanging unevenly with the world. So let's go ahead and unpack now the next slide and look at the exchange that you and I did with Jesus. The first one. By the way, I appreciate, Tim's... We didn't coordinate that, but I thought the worship team did an amazing job at really focusing on what the message was going to be. And then Tim gets up here, talks about that uneven exchange as well. So here it is. We're going to begin to unpack this. What did you and I exchange with Jesus? The first one was your sin. You exchanged your sin for his righteousness. 2 Corinthians talks a lot about this, especially if you go in chapter 5, but I've chosen verse 21 that kind of says it right there. God made him who had no sin, who? He made who? Jesus Christ. Who had no sin to be sin for us. So that in him, in Jesus Christ, we might become the righteousness of God. So the very first thing, if you ever want to be able to begin to follow Jesus in his footsteps, step into his footprints and make them a little bit deeper on the physical roads of your community here, California, Hollywood, Lexington Park. If you dream of stepping into the footprints of Jesus Christ, the first exchange you have to make is to exchange your sin nature for his righteousness. And you would think that comes very natural and very easy. Because who wouldn't want to unpack what you're carrying inside, around you, smeared all over you, with his righteousness? That would be logical, that would be smart, that would be what all of us desire to do. Yet, if you look around, there are about 200 or so people in here, and if we total all the gathered people around this particular community, they would be but a fraction of the population that goes around, that has been willing to enter the uneven exchange with Jesus Christ of giving up a sinful nature. And I thought I'm going to illustrate that a little bit. And Barb, would you come with me and help us understand what that thing looks like? Okay? This is Jesus. And this is me here, the sinner. But I am wearing my life pretty well. I have a smart coat. It's all beautiful and it fits me to the T. No, mine fits me to the T, okay? It's beautiful. Hey, it's black and it has some dots and spots on it, but who cares? It fits me and I look beautiful in it. I've done many things with that coat. I've gone places that brought me pleasure. I interacted with people in a way that made me who I am. And it put them in their place. And you know what? I became rich with this coat. Who cares that the books are a little bit... they don't add up at the very end when you sit at the end of the month. I hope my boss would never find out. But I love wearing my coat because it really fits me. And I like how I feel in it. It makes me beautiful. Don't you think?
I think this would look prettier.
I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't think it's going to fit me. Too large, too big. I like the color.
But I think I would prefer to wear your coat in exchange for my coat. My coat is white, pure, no stains on it, no nothing, and I'll take yours with all of it.
With my stains on it?
With all your stains, all your sin, everything. And I think my coat will fit perfect. Would you like to try it on?
Yeah.
All I'm asking for is your dirty coat. I'll give you a clean, nice, beautiful coat.
Oh, well. I guess I can try it for size.
Well, the way to take this coat is if I take your coat. No mask. You can't put it over top of it. All I want is everything that coat has to offer.
You're not joking, right?
No, not joking. All I'm asking for is your dirty coat.
My dirty coat?
Your dirty coat. And you can take this white, clean coat, and if you make it dirty, I'll clean it off.
Now, why are you saying dirty coat? I mean, I see the spots, but really?
Well, all those spots add up. There's sin, there's lust, there's greed, There's everything. Everything I'll take in exchange for a nice clean coat. I think it's your size. Let's try it.
I can try it
if I take this coat off first, okay? Let's take this coat. Now, I know you're stuck to it because it's not coming off very well. But I'll take this coat on and watch.
Sure, you want to take that coat off?
I am sure. And I'm sure that I will take this coat in exchange for this
coat. I really feel exposed when you do that.
And I will take this coat. This is totally uncomfortable, girl.
Wow. That hits me. That gets me right there. Because this is exactly what Jesus did for you and me. He was willing to take my dirty coat with all of my stains, everything that I have smeared on myself. My righteousness looked like dirty rags. What I thought is a beautiful coat that fits me perfectly and makes me presentable in this world only presented the enemy of this world. So Jesus came and tapped me on my shoulder at the age of 14 and offered his white coat of righteousness. I said, wouldn't you exchange that with me? Because once you begin to wear my coat, I will be able to exchange your guilt with my redeemed identity for you. For Revelation chapter 2, verse 17 says this. I, Jesus says that, will also give that person a white stone with a new name written on it, known only to the one who receives that name. Do you know that in ancient Jewish history, this is how they voted guilt or innocent? They had a pile of stones, and there was a white stone if you were going to be voted innocent, and there were dark stones for those that are going to judge against you to throw the dark stone if you were found guilty. So when you would come before the judge, and when your case is being laid down, when you're guilty, you will get a dark stone. And both you and I have done much to deserve a black stone. To deserve for the judge in heavens, the one that's going to be looking at the history of your life from beginning to end, to look at you, examine it carefully and impartially, to cast a dark stone on your behalf. Because nothing that you could do, nothing that I have done, deserves a not guilty verdict. But because of Jesus Christ, because of Jesus, the Son of God, who actually came in flesh like we talked last time, he exchanged with you and me completely unevenly, to the point where we cannot even grasp the mercy that he has on you and me. That Jesus not only puts himself on the cross on your behalf, but then comes in love and pursues you to no end. And by no end, I mean he pursues you till you have a breath. Even when doctors declare you clinically gone, there are so many testimonies when that soul would be transitioning into eternity. And those that were able to be revived. That God continues to work in their hearts, calling their spirit to him. For he loves you and me. He loves his lost children to the point of death. To the point not just that he came and died, but he willingly exchanges his righteousness for your sinful nature. Not that he's going to leave you with a sinful nature. In that exchange, he offers his righteousness. Paul down the road later on, a few years later on, after Jesus ascends to heaven, talks about taking off our sinful nature, putting on the coat of righteousness. See, positionally, when you come to a salvation, knowledge, commitment, and grace, what we call a born-again experience, what Jesus calls a born-again experience. When the Spirit comes, supernaturally interrupts your life today and brings you from a sinful lifestyle into his righteousness, positionally you're placed right there with a white coat. But from time to time, and that time is often, we like to go back and revisit the old lifestyle. And we get this coat somewhat stained, not having enough. We go still feeling uncomfortable. We kind of put a white lie here and there. Somebody says a word and we just jump and we have to defend ourselves instead of letting God defend us. So we offend the person, offend the witness that we are. So we get this white coat beginning to look like a smeared old coat. But what Jesus has offered all of us is not guilty verdict. And to remain in the not guilty verdict, he offers his continual forgiveness to us. The $10 billion that you owe, that he said those are going to be forgiven, that forgiveness is extended on a daily basis. So he comes in, applies some of his blood that he already shed for you, cleans it all off, and you get up and you shake off the mud and the stains and the spots, and you take a rightful place in the new destiny that he has for you, for he has given you a new name. With the new name comes a new destiny that is empowered. It is supernaturally protected by him. And you begin to walk in his identity. The broken pieces of your life now finally begin to make sense. He takes you as you were. That black coat you wore, in it, when he took it off, you fell apart. Here is an arm and there is a leg and even the head toppled off. and he takes your broken pieces of life and he puts them together and shapes you into that new identity in him. This is how Jeremiah describes it. Being inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, he prophesies over the people of God this in Jeremiah 29:11. For I, God says that, know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. And within that hope, within his plan for your life, as he gave you that white stone, he cast the white stone on your behalf. As you come to him and you reach his garment and you said, I cry out in desperation, Jesus, change me, transform me. I will give it up. I give you my sinful person, and I'll exchange my black coat for your white robe of righteousness. He gave you the white stone with your new name now written on it. Your past no longer defines who you are. You have a new future and a new destiny in Jesus Christ. And as we grasp the destiny towards the future and plans that he has for you, then we actually are putting our feet in his footsteps. For we are now walking in his footsteps. I'll be unpacking a lot of that. Those three points would be an underlying theology for us as we continue to unpack all of that in coming sermons. But I really want us to be encouraged in this Thanksgiving season that we have a God that is so gracious to us, that loves us beyond anything that we can wrap our minds around, that he came, he died on our behalf. God made him sin for us. For there was no way we can enter a redeemed relationship with the maker and creator of all humankind. Because you and I were sinful people. And we could not enter boldly into his presence. Yet because of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Word that created it all, that created you and I, loved you so much that he put himself out there for whosoever would believe in him can have a new coat to wear. His robe of righteousness can have a not guilty verdict cast upon you with a new name. And you have now a destiny, a future that is in his hand. And now you don't represent your past, but you present the one that is your future, that lives in you, that empowers you to be more than victorious because he is in you, and the one that's in the world, and I'm talking about Satan and all the demons that are unleashed against you, has no power anymore against you. For in him we stand strong in the destiny that only you know, because you and I are uniquely fashioned after his image. And so the diversity that we represent, the diverse micro worlds we touch, the diverse places we go to that are uniquely fashioned within your sphere of influence. I cannot come and show your workplace or your family or the members that are going to be gathered around your Thanksgiving table this Thursday. But you're going to be there. God has uniquely positioned you in this neighborhood, in a Filipino community that you can reach people I cannot go reach. God has placed you to work on the base, to interact with engineers and IT department and people that I don't have an access to, but you do. The destiny that is written on the white stone with a new name and uniquely tailored to who God created you to be, you already know it. And you would say, I don't know all of it. I have no clue. This is where that tension between knowing and faith, you know, comes together. And we have to trust the Lord that as He is now taking us on a new journey with Him. Because I don't care how many years you have walked with the Lord, the journey with Him is always new. And His mercies are new every day for your life. So you wake up and you are saying, God, how can I be that instrument in your hand, that missional instrument in your hand, that as I walk among my family and as I walk in the streets outside of my home and as I enter my workplace, God, how can I be a missional instrument in your hand? What does following in His footsteps look like for me today? I wrestle with that daily. I wrestle with it because I have a very busy agenda. And if you let me set the agenda, I don't know how much time I would have left to touch the lives that God wants me to touch. Because I already have a long list of lives that I want to touch. My preaching schedule is on my agenda. I have to prepare that. Reading all kinds of books is on my agenda because I have to feed my soul. Reading scripture is on my agenda. Investigating trends and cultural new ideas that are out there, that's on my agenda. Having some time with my family and my husband is really a priority on my agenda. I know how well I do that. Were you going to clap some? I was going to be really encouraged if you clapped for me on that. But I'm transparent with you here. Because sometimes God takes my agenda and puts it right in the trash. Just makes a ball out of that piece of paper where I put my schedule on and throws it in the trash basket. And says, and now, listen to my agenda. Walking in His footsteps is not just some lofty, aspiring idea out there. It is as I walk through life, are my antennas all up? Are my listening devices attuned to His voice So as I meet people, because you know what? When we have a busy agenda, as I go to the gas station and I interact with people, as I go to the store, which I don't have time to go often, I interact with people. As I go to a coffee shop to wait on some of you to meet me there, I interact with people. And how well do I hear the voice of God? As I touch people, do I touch them for Christ? As they come in contact with me, are they touching the garment of Jesus Christ that now has been put on me as a robe of righteousness? How much do I influence their world for Christ? Because you can be working from within the office of this church, and you can be missing it big time if your agenda is not aligned with His agenda. I'm not telling you to quit doing what you're doing and then go now find something else to do. I'm telling you, while you're doing what you're doing, find the activity of the Holy Spirit in the midst of what you're doing. He came not for stones and for rocks and for seas and for rivers. He came to save people. And you and I interact with people all day long. Do we interact in a Christ-centered fashion? Last Sunday, I challenged you with this. Go out there now, this week, and worship God. And by worship I meant, as you go out there, make every day of this week count for you. Make every hour count for Christ. Make every minute count for Christ. Live a life-centered life. See where the activity of the Spirit is and go with that. And to my pleasant surprise, because I'm used to preachers give a charge on Sunday morning, and by the time we come the next Sunday morning, I think half of you, or most of the half of you, have forgotten what that was all about. But to my pleasant surprise, my son in the middle of the week says, "Mom, you know what? When you challenged this, I took it to heart. And do you know what happened? And Brian, would you share with us how you walked this week and what did Jesus do in your life?" Amen.
Well, this week, I first want to say, like, when Pastor Svelon was talking about having your listening antennas and, you know, whatever, just kind of being open and living and walking with the Lord, I mean, I constantly pray, you know, "God, help me do this, help me not do that." Like, I'm just kind of constantly, like, talking to the Lord, like, especially at school with different people that I interact with. And, I mean, so last week I was on the bus, and, or, like, maybe the week before that, I was on the bus, and my head kind of hurt. And, you know, when you take, like, that Delsum cough medicine, and it kind of gives you that nauseous feeling in your stomach, and then your head starts kind of hurting. That's what happens to me. It was just kind of this uncomfortable feeling. But then I hear this other boy, he was, like, in fifth grade, say, "Oh, my head hurts." And I heard him, and, you know, the other battle is not just, like, listening to God, but also, like, laying down who you are and take on that righteous cloak and saying, "I'm going to walk in Jesus' footsteps." But as Pastor Svetlana talked about last week, kind of how Jesus humbled himself, and that's what we have to do, is humble ourselves. And I finally got to the point where I said, "All right, I'm just going to go ahead and say it." And I said, "Can I pray for you?" And so I got to pray for him right there. And then This one girl in 10th grade, she can't really play sports because it hurts her. She has, like, scoliosis. And she was in a room crying because they had basketball practice, and she was in pain. And I said, "Can I pray for you?" And I got to pray for her there. And then there was another girl that the Lord put, like, I was worshiping, and I got a picture of her. And this was at a thing at our school that we had an event. I went up and prayed for her, and she was so blessed because she comes from a broken home, and I thought that was awesome. And then I got to invite her to come to Thanksgiving with us, so I know I blessed her in that way, and I know the Lord used me. And then, so that was three, and I have four things. In class, in 12th grade, there's this person that I really look up to, and he's a big spiritual lead, I would say, for our school. His name is Cale Benefield, and some of you guys might know him. But he really kind of encouraged me because he stood up in front of his Bible class and, like, spoke about the Lord, you know. And, I mean, I go to a Christian school, and so... But even then, it's just like laying down and saying, "I'm going to walk in Jesus' footsteps," and not having the pride within yourself, but rather having the pride to do what Jesus wants you to do, and not being like scared to do it, because we're living for eternity now if you are born again. So that night, once I heard him say that, the next day I was going to have Bible class, and I was thinking, like, one of the biggest things that we lack in the Christian school is probably, like, living out Christ even there. And so I was going to talk about how we should put Christ on display. And then I was reading Matthew 5 that morning, and I read a little bit more. And it was interesting how Pastor Laney said to us today that we need to be the salt and light to the world. But that's exactly what I spoke to my Bible class that morning, that we need to be the salt and light. So it was awesome this week.
Praise God.
Yes, we do life. As we walk daily into the activities we already do, are we looking for the activity of the Holy Spirit in the midst of what we do? Jesus Christ came from heaven to earth and began to walk in flesh, fully the Son of Man. He was profoundly different and countercultural. He practiced values before he taught doctrines. He modeled before he required. He suffered himself, yet he healed others. Life treated him, Jesus, unfairly. Nevertheless, he was kind and just to all. His example compelled and stirred people's hearts to respond, either to follow him or to persecute him, but none could remain neutral under his leadership. For 21 centuries, his model remains earth-shattering and life-transforming, and this most prominent Son of Man split human history in two. And everyone who comes in contact with his life has to make a choice to continue his legacy or to fight his imprint. And my question to you this morning is, what will you choose? For 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 14 to 15 says this, For Christ's love compels us. Because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. I'm talking about you and me that exchanged the black sinful coat for the white robe of righteousness. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So this morning, you don't have the choice to ignore Jesus and his footprints. You just came in contact with Jesus. And I don't know how many years you have been hearing about this Jesus, if you know him personally, or you're hearing about this Jesus for the first time in your life. But every time this Jesus touches your life, you have a choice to make. Are you willing to lift your foot up and put it in the next footprint that he has left for you? Are you willing to walk in his footprints? Whatever that looks for you. Because everyone's life assignment is uniquely tailored to who you are. We all are walking with the Son of God into the mission of God to seek and to find the ones that are lost. But how you do that and how I do that is uniquely tailored to who he created us to be. This morning, you're encountering Jesus in this gathering, and he's posing this question to you. Are you willing this coming week, as you begin the rest of this day and Monday and so forth, and you're entering into a Thanksgiving week, are you willing to give up of yourself in order to gain into the destiny that I have set apart for you? Would you consider the uneven exchange with the lost that he is after in order to leave grace-filled imprints on the hearts of the lost? This to me is a very sobering thought, because it's not just speaking to those that need to make a decision to follow Christ for the first time. It really is a question that involves everybody. Because how we follow in his footprints is directly related to how the lost around you can become found. Jesus relies on you to place the Father on display. As we all get up now, would you stand up with me? I want you to consider this. In worship, we just sang, I'm worshiping you with all I have, with all I am. I'm lifting your name and I'm worshiping you. And I want you to consider this week. With all that you are this week, with all of your activities that you're going to be involved in this week, would you consider to lift Christ in the way the Holy Spirit is leading you to do so? For the steps of a righteous man are ordered of God. And so you and I have a high responsibility to grasp where those footsteps are laid down so I can actually step right into those footsteps. So I'm not asking you to do anything new this week. You keep doing where your work takes you, where your school takes you. But I thought it was quite humbling for me to hear my son's testimony at home when he began to recount, "Mom, although I'm in a Christian school, I really had to be intentional to walk into his footsteps." So I'm asking you for this coming week, every day, for you to be intentional in how you walk in his footsteps, and that you would make every day count for Christ. All of your activities would be Christ-centered. They're not going to be different activities. You're still going to go to work. You're still going to enjoy your relatives. You're still going to carve that turkey or fish. I'm not telling you to change where life takes you. I'm asking you, would you consider to take Christ in every activity you're involved in? Lift his name high. Listen to the leading of the Holy Spirit so you can follow the activity he has charted for you to engage this week. For those of you that are ready to commit this way, come to the altar. Let us all make a thanksgiving commitment to God that we are grateful for the new life and the new white robe of righteousness that he has given us, and that we are committed to take this white robe and point others to it and bring others to the salvation knowledge so they may commit to Jesus Christ. I'm inviting you now to walk to the front if you want to make that commitment that every day and every hour of your week would count for Christ, and that you would intently listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit as he's taking you into his activities, that you would put aside your agenda and embrace his agenda, that in humility and humbleness, we can become greater representatives of the Father and put him on display. As we will conclude with prayer, you're welcome to linger around the altars and pray. We have a hospitality room to the left. I want to welcome all of the first-time visitors, that we can meet them there and exchange a little bit with you. Really would love for you to engage with us. So we'll be looking forward to talking to you. There are snacks and refreshments after that. And then some connection groups that are meeting on campus immediately after we take some refreshments with us. Hallelujah. 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 Father, we glorify your name. We raise our voices to join the angelic hordes up there that say holy, holy, holy to you, that adore you, that see your majesty. Father, we're just praying that as we interact with you and as we are convinced of the grace and the mercy that you have poured on our lives, that we would intently take you in every step we take. That we would be careful to step into the footsteps that you have ordained for every individual destiny that's represented here. For we are all joined with your Son, Jesus Christ, walking in the mission of God, for redeeming all lost humanity. And we thank you for the mercy you have shown us. I'm praying that you would empower your people, that they would be great witnesses for you, that we will engage in the activity of your Holy Spirit as you want us to touch human lives that need hope, that need inspiration by you, that need encouragement of you, that need to get to know the Savior of this world. In the name of Christ, we offer all of our petitions and prayers. May you bless all of us, and as we walk into the work week, that we can be a blessing to many. Amen, Father. Amen.